Welcome to the 12 Days of Podcast. This series of 12 perfect episodes is brought to you by the good people at Def Jam. Hey you, you're going to the store, right? Well, pick up Jeezy's Pressure for me because it's in stores now. All stores. Every store. We're talking Brookstone. We're talking Lord & Taylor. We're even talking Auntie Anne's Pretzels. And if you can't find them there, it's because it's sold out. But worry not, go to JeezyShop.com today, get yourself an autographed copy of Jeezy's Pressure by tonight.
Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Eric.
How are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
Doing well, thank you. Day number 8 of this silly little operation that we like to call the 12 Days of Podcasts. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling pretty good. I'm looking at the board.
Yes.
And I'm thinking that we're going to make it.
Hallelujah.
as long as nobody else can. We've had a few cancellations come through.
All right. Well, let's talk about what we've done rather than the ones that we have not gotten done.
The ones who've gotten away?
The one that we started off with was a question and answer podcast. It is the 150th episode of A Waste of Time with It's the Real, and we did all questions that were submitted by our loyal listeners, and that's a great episode for everybody who wants to get to know more of us.
You want to know what Ninja Turtles I do not fuck with?
Listen to that episode.
Yeah.
The second episode
we did. Gets to the core of who I am.
The second episode that we did, well, you also don't like peanut butter, or you used to not like peanut butter. We learned
somebody sent me a message about peanut butter after that.
Well,
it wasn't like a threat, but it was like...
Yeah, well, you're not allergic, so that's good.
Yeah.
Episode number 2, the 2017 roundtable, we had our friends Rembert and Naomi and Scotty Beam and Jersey Jinx and Phil Chang over.
Yeah.
Amazing conversation.
Crowded apartment.
It was a crowded apartment. A lot of snacks. A lot of great takes. It was a really... really, really, really good episode.
Doesn't it bum you out when you find out that all of your friends are smarter than you?
No, I'm happy. I'm happy because it covers up whatever stupid opinions that I have, right?
Yes.
Third episode, we had Upscale Vandal come over here. This is a man who, listen, we see him out. We see him with his Rockefeller hat.
With his numerous pairs of glasses.
And we just don't know who he is. We had a chance to have him sit down and explain exactly who he is, and that's a great episode.
Then we had Carly Hustle.
Yeah.
And Carly Hustle, we knew, had a great story.
Yeah.
And she proved us right.
Radio veteran, started up in Eugene, Oregon, worked her way down the West Coast, and eventually over here to Hot 97, now works for Apple Music, Beats One. She's got a fantastic story. Love that episode.
Fafu.
Our guy, Fafu. I hope people heard him in the episode that we did right after Prince died. He gave a really good picture of what it was like to work with Prince. And we had him come back up to talk about everything he's done in addition to the Prince stuff.
Which, by the way, Fafu's story cannot be contained in one episode.
No, we were really lucky to get an hour 45 out of him.
No, I'm saying like we need to have him back at some point.
I understand. I'm saying we got that hour 45.
Yeah.
It was concise. It was good.
Mm-hmm.
And we probably need to do a full hour 45 again with him.
Just the Bahamas story about being Puff and...
Don't ruin it. It's too good.
Yeah.
You have to hear Fafu tell that story.
You don't want to hear me just summarize it?
Then we had OT Genesis come through.
Uh-huh.
What a good guy OT Genesis is. This is somebody who we all know has hit after hit after hit. Coco and Everybody Mad and Thick and Push It, right? And he talks about all those songs, but we get to the core of who he is as a person, growing up in Long Beach, stealing cars.
See, but we don't talk about his least favorite Ninja Turtles or if he was allergic to peanut butter.
Well, this is true. Then we had the debut episode of Two Jews and Two Black Dudes Review the Movies with our friends Styles P and Sheik Looch. One of my favorite episodes ever.
Ever.
It was so much fun. We went up there to Yonkers. We had a great time recording with them. There's going to be more episodes of that series of this podcast, and we're very excited. And then today,
we've got T-Grizzly.
T-Grizzly, man.
T-Grizzly, who, by the way,
yeah,
squeezed this episode into his very busy schedule.
Which was very nice.
Yeah, because like T-Grizzly has had a crazy year. It is 1 year ago that he dropped First Day Out.
Which is wild. And we talk about that today. We talk about growing up with his grandparents, how he was a great student, how he was going to get into finance, how he had an internship, how he went to college for a semester, and then...
And then he gets arrested.
So we get into that. He actually takes us through the entire crime. Actually, I guess there were a couple of crimes, and he took us through the whole mindset, the whole play-by-play, and how he got out of jail determined to make a career.
Yeah.
And, man, I couldn't be happier for anybody. He has a wonderful story and so far a great ending.
He has a great perspective.
He does.
Like, I think that that's the most amazing thing about all of this, right? Like, he's just got such perspective for a 22-year-old or whatever he is. Like, he's very young, but he's very smart.
Yeah, this is very true. Shout out to T Grizzly. Shout out to the whole team at 300 for bringing him by. Real quick, Jeff, want to mention that on January 10th, 2018, in mere weeks, we are going to be returning to the scene of the crime, SOBs here in New York City, to do a live podcast from the SOBs stage. You know who's played on that stage.
Yeah, we have.
We have. It's us and Kanye West and John Legend and 2 Chainz and Drake and a million other people, but really,
it's us.
It's us. We are back for the second time. We're calling this show It's the Real, 2 SOBs.
Perfect.
So, go get your tickets right now at itsthereal.com. They're going fast. Don't wait until they sell out. You guys definitely want to be there on January 10th, 2018 for storytelling, comedy, music, and a lot of fun. 4 more episodes after this in the 12 days of podcasts. We agreed we're going to make it?
We agreed we are going to make it. We also have to do an episode. I just remembered. We have to do an episode right after Christmas.
Oh, my God. Well, guys, it never stops. We appreciate you guys supporting us, whether it's 12 Days of Podcasts or whether it's all the other podcasts across the year. More great content to come. Jeff, when do you want to get into it?
Right after I tell people that HQ's Scott Rogowski.
Whoa.
Yes.
Whoa.
HQ's Scott Rogowski will be here tomorrow.
Yo, everybody has been playing this game, including us. On their iPhones, it's like, it's up to like 500,000 people every time, right?
Every night.
It's crazy. It's crazy. And Scott Rogowski tells the whole story here tomorrow. Jeff, when are we getting into it?
Right now.
Yo, what up? It's Eric, aka Roll Out of Bed, aka Wake and Bake.
Yo, what up? It's Jeff, aka Dipped in Water, aka Dripopotamus.
What up, though? It's T Grizzly.
Yeah, there's a waste of time, but it's the real. Ba-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da- Upper West Side. Yo, it's cold outside, but really,
it's so cold in the day.
Yeah. So you're just used to it.
It feel good out here. When I first came out here, and everybody like, it's freezing out there. I'm like, it feel good out here. It ain't even that cold, because in the city, it's like, I think we just got like 7 inches of snow.
Really?
Yeah.
Damn.
You know, how much do you like New York City? How long have you been here? You were just here for the Hot 97 show, I imagine.
Yeah. I done popped here a few times. Like, I done came here a few times. Enough times to have a real feel for it. I like the vibe of the people. Everything is fast-paced. Everything is close together.
Do you take the subway?
Going to interact with people. I haven't took the subway
yet. Okay, that's the real way to interact with people. You want to see the crazy people, you take the subway.
Okay, I'm going to take it. I'm gonna.
You promise?
I'm going to do that one. I don't promise. I don't promise. I'm going to do it one day, though.
Right, like Jay-Z went on the train like once, like that's what you're going to do.
Yeah.
All right, the most exciting thing that we heard recently, we went to the Jeezy listening, and you dropped on his album, and it's fire.
Mm-hmm.
How did Jeezy get in touch with you in the first place?
I forgot. Somebody from his team reached out to me, one of my peoples, got my number, and hit me up, called me. Like, I'm about to have Jeezy call you right quick. He want to holler at you. And then we got to talking about the song, went from there.
Well, what does he say, like, initially? This is a man that you've never met in real life, right?
Yeah.
And he just says...
No, I met him not before this.
Yeah.
Not right, before the song.
Right.
Yeah, he like, man, what's up, young dog? I'm rocking with you. You already know I got a history with Detroit anyway.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We need to go and do something. You're killing the streets right now. I'm like, I grew up listening to you. You know what I'm saying? I'm a fan. Let's get it.
Right.
You know?
That was it?
Yeah.
You just say okay, and they send you the song, and then you do it?
Yeah.
Oh, that's simple. Yeah. All right, where are you originally from in Detroit?
I'm from the west side of Detroit, Joy Road area.
And what's growing up there like?
Growing up there, it's like a different world. A lot of stuff that don't make sense to people make sense to us.
Like what?
Violence, for one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like when you out here in New York, downtown, in the city, I be real productive. Like, I go do interviews, I go to radio stations, I go to studios, meet a lot of good, cool people. It don't make sense to have a gun out here. Like, you don't need it.
Right.
Where I'm from, it don't make sense not to have a gun. You know what I'm saying? Like, you better have one. Because it's not none of that.
Like early?
Early.
When's the first time you saw a gun?
I forgot how old I was, but I know I was crawling. I'm crawling, like, not like I couldn't walk, but I was like just crawling around playing. And I had a little toy that rolled under the couch. And when I went to go grab it, I felt something. I'm like, what's that? Pulled it from under the couch. It was a gun.
Damn.
I ran and took it to my granddad. He like, how'd I get cocked? I'm like, I don't know. I ain't cocked it. I cocked it, though. Because I cocked it, like, playing with it. Ran and took it in there. That's the first time I saw a gun.
And you were living with your grandparents at this time? Because yeah. your where were your parents at this time?
My mama was incarcerated and my daddy was on the east side of Detroit.
Mm-hmm. So what's that like growing up with your grandparents in that situation?
They real old school.
Yeah.
They real old
school. Like literally, they were old school.
Like all my friends can stay, all of my friends' parents young, they can stay out late. You know what I'm saying? Do what they want to do, like cuss around their parents sometimes, you know, had company. I can't have no company. I got to be in by the street light, all that type of stuff. I bet not cuss in front of nobody that's grown. Don't be playing in the house. I was never as comfortable around adults as my friends was because they was real. I was raised like old fashioned type, you know?
Mm-hmm. But for all intents and purposes, your grandparents really were like essentially your parents.
Yeah.
They looked after you. They made sure you were doing what you had to do.
Yeah.
And you were a good kid.
Yeah, for the most part.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's later. But like, you know, you were good in school.
Yeah.
And you didn't drink, you didn't smoke.
Nope, never got into that.
I feel like I'm your grandparent. Like, you know, like
as far as school, like, look, middle school, my whole middle school career, I could never get no good grades. But in high school, it's like on a roll every time.
Really? What was the switch?
I don't know. I guess I was lazy in middle school. Every time I came home, went straight outside.
Man.
My grandparents would be like, "You got homework?" I'd be like, "Nope." If they would have went in my boogie bag, I got packets of homework.
Yeah.
That I ain't do from weeks ago.
Did you visit your mom in jail?
No. She was always in the feds. You know, the feds send you across the country.
Mm-hmm.
So she'll be in Tallahassee, Florida right now.
Right now.
In the feds, yeah.
Did she write to you?
Yeah, we write each other. We was writing each other when I was locked up.
How much, like, did you sort of, like, understand her and her situation?
I didn't understand. I just missed her. I just missed her. I used to be seeing her, and then I stopped seeing her, and she'd call. I'd be like, "Dang, where you at?" Mm. This is when I was real young.
Yeah.
When I got older, I just got used to it. Like, "Dang, you locked up? Oh, yeah, okay, when you come home?" All right, yeah. And we just have a, like, cordial relationship.
Did you have any siblings growing up?
Yeah, I got a brother and sister.
Older or younger?
Older sister, younger brother. But so, I'm, like, the oldest, though.
Why do you say that?
I'm the go-to for both of them.
Yeah.
You know, on what to do and when they need something.
Yeah.
So
when your older sister, like, lived life, did that show you any sort of path for you, the way that you wanted to go?
No, not for real. I always blazed my own trail. Like, when I used to see all my friends smoking and drinking, I never took to that.
Yeah. Well, why didn't you, by the way?
Because I tried it before, and I was just like, I got to be on point.
Mm-hmm. Like, we don't either, like, right? And, like, our friends, like, give us a tough time. They're just like, "Come on, just, like, do this one time." Like, do you get that too, where people are just like, "What's
all
wrong?"
All the time I get that. Just do it. Just go ahead and do it one time.
Yeah.
I'd be like, "No, they ain't. I'm straight."
So, what was your first job in high school?
I never had a job until I went to prison.
Never?
Never.
You didn't go out, like, looking for a job? You didn't even...
I looked for a couple. I tried to work at this place called McAllister's. That's a little food place in Lansing. When I was living in Lansing, I tried to get a job there.
Lansing is like Michigan State, right?
Yeah. Michigan State tried to give me a job, right? But I was pushing the image at Michigan State. I couldn't have no job.
Oh, really?
Because the job they was trying to give me was on campus, and everybody come here.
Right.
Couldn't be up there working. We talked about people that worked up there.
Did you have any musical sort of talents that you saw? Were you in band? Were you in chorus? Anything like that?
Yeah, I had a little rap group. We was a little rap group.
Oh, so just like in high school, but like not necessarily in band or chorus or anything.
Yeah.
What was that first rap group name?
All Stars.
All Stars.
Yeah, All Stars.
And were you always T Grizzly?
No, I was King T at first.
And All Star T.
All Star T. When it first started, I was King T. When I was like, that sound kind of King T. You know, I'm like, I'm All Star T. Then when I got locked up, I ain't really hear from them dudes like that or vibe with them. So it's like we lost a bond. I might just do my own thing.
Was everybody an all-star in there? Like was it like ASAP where it's just like I'm all-star Eric and all-star Jeff?
Yeah. All-star JR, all-star Lee, you know.
How many people were in the group?
It was like five of us that rap. It was like 10 other people that didn't do nothing. It's about they managers.
Right.
And all this, and ain't nobody doing nothing.
Everyone comes on stage with you?
Yeah.
And were you guys, I mean, like, you guys had some success online. Or, I mean, like, I see the numbers now. So I'm sure they've gone up since you've become T Grizzly.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I see, like, 60,000 for different, like, videos. Were you guys, like, seeing that sort of audience out there at that time?
We had dropped audio. We ain't never dropped no videos. You know, videos is always more powerful than audio.
Mm-hmm.
So we wasn't really doing no numbers, but I was like, it's because it's audio.
Right.
you know, we'd get like 7,000 views at the max. 7,000, 16,000, 20 on a good day.
Yeah.
On a good day, we'd do 20.
And that probably feels like amazing.
No, I feel good.
That 20, yeah.
Because I go on Twitter and see people talking about it. I was happy with that.
Yeah.
You know?
Were the All-Stars pushing their music to like any of the music blogs?
Nope. Not for real. We was happy with what we had because nobody from Detroit was getting pushed from no music blogs or nothing like that.
Well, who'd you grow up listening to?
Detroit rappers.
Yeah.
I grew up listening to rappers who wasn't successful. So. Mm-hmm.
Like who?
Detroit artists.
Yeah, but like
the local, yeah. like Street Lords, Doughboys, Rock Bottom, Team Eastside. And I ain't saying that they wasn't successful.
Right.
But they wasn't celebrity superstar status.
Right. They never like grew beyond Detroit. I mean, like,
well, that must have
Doughboys Cash Out did.
Yeah, when they signed
Doughboys,
the
Doughboys did.
Yeah.
Peasy and Ray did a little bit. Blade was known, but he was known for something else. One, but nobody really made it to be no Jay-Z.
Right.
Right. I mean, you know? Eminem did okay.
Yeah.
Eminem did. Eminem did, but not the people I was listening to.
Right. 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 Right.
You know, so I was really getting my craft from them people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so
actually, what you think of 8 Mile?
No, 8 Mile a great movie. It's one of the movies that's good. That's a movie about a city. And it's a good movie. A lot of movies that come out that's about a city don't even be good. And people be like, our city ain't even like that. 8 Mile was a great movie.
That felt like Detroit.
Yeah.
But what about it feels like Detroit?
The way his living conditions, the situations he was in, beefing with dudes and trying to be a rapper and make it out. And everybody saying, oh, I got these plugs and them plugs. That's how it really be.
Mm-hmm.
You go to studios, you know, I know them. They can get you on, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All that type of stuff.
So did you buy into like when people would be like, yo, I know someone who could put you on. Did you think that you were like right around the corner when you were in the All-Stars?
I mean, it used to be good to hear it, and it used to give me hope hearing it. But I knew that it wasn't true because they didn't put nobody else on.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you tell me you could put somebody on, I'm like, okay, who have you put on?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Eminem.
Yeah. That type of stuff.
When the All-Stars are getting those 16,000 plays, those 20,000 plays, mm-hmm. Are you performing around town, or is this something where you guys just put out music and just see where it goes?
It was very rarely that we performed. We performed at a couple strip clubs, but it wasn't nothing crazy. We ain't go to no college shows or nothing like that.
Where were you recording your music?
In a house, in one of my friend's houses.
Like, was it an actual studio, or did you guys have, like
the mic set up in, like, a closet?
The mic set up in the closet?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. We used to get the songs mixed.
Yeah, but you don't need that. You know, the internet doesn't care.
Yeah.
So you end up going to college.
Yeah.
How'd you feel about going to Michigan State? I mean, you were the first one of your family to go to college.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it felt good. When I got there, I felt like I'm for sure going to be successful.
Was there any chance that you were going to go out of state to go to college?
I almost went to Minnesota.
Really?
Yo, fuck Minnesota.
I almost went to Minnesota.
You're wearing Minnesota colors right now.
Yeah. But I ain't get accepted there, though.
Oh, yeah.
I wanted to go there so bad. I told my teacher, yeah, this is where I'm going for sure.
You want to be a Gopher?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ended up getting accepted to Michigan State. I only applied to Michigan State and the College of in Minnesota.
Did you have who are they? Oh, the guidance counselors, right, in high school? Did they try to like move you in a certain direction? Like, well, this is your talent.
Go be a stockbroker. Go be an investment banker. Go be an investment banker because I was real good at math. Like, go be an investment banker or something like that. I'm like, all right. That's what I'm gonna go do.
Is that why you're in New York?
Yeah.
Is that why you're in New York? Yeah.
No.
So that could have been a reality. You thought.
No, I was getting good grades. I had an internship with Ernst & Young and everything.
Whoa. No. What was that like?
It was good. It was good. It was a lady there named Lindsay Schultz. And she was like a recruiter. You know how the recruiters come on campus. And my professors used to be like, you take one of them people and you just like, you get real close to them, you email them, invite them to lunch. You know what I'm saying? Have this type of elevator speech ready. You know what I'm saying? Every time you see them, just make sure they know you. And that was the person from Ernst & Young that I made sure she got to know me. And then it got to the point where she knew my face, and she invited me to, like, this little global perspectives conference or something like that in Chicago.
Oh, my God. That's the most corporate-sounding weekend I've ever heard.
Something like that. She invited me to stay in Chicago. And she let me in on this internship at Michigan State, but it ain't last too long because I was on what I was on.
Yo, who gave you that advice to, like, you know, like, stay on people and email them and show them your face and all that?
Just my different business professors.
That's so real, though. Like, in any business, mm-hmm. like, as long as you, like, send the right message, you write the right email, and then mm-hmm. you, like, make sure that you're seen.
Format it right, say thank you at the end, all that type
all
of stuff.
All of that. But, yeah. like, maintain that relationship. Mm-hmm. Like, if anybody does that in any field, you're good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and you don't, like, exactly, like, you know, beg for a lot of money or anything. If you just want that opportunity and you show your face, you will succeed.
Definitely.
So Ernst & Young,
because it worked for me. It was about to work for me.
Yeah. So okay, when you say it was about to work for you, mm-hmm. why did it not?
I ain't had no money to go to Chicago.
Oh, okay. You did not make that drive down to Chicago.
I had to give me some money first.
How long is that drive from Detroit?
Probably down? 6 hours.
6 hours.
6 hours.
But that wasn't happening.
No, they was gonna pay for your plane ticket though.
Oh shit.
I just didn't want to be down there struggling.
Yeah.
I'm like, when I go down there, I want to be able to go to the mall and get an outfit.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Or have some money in my pocket. They're going to pay for anything, but I don't want to be down there broke.
Whoa.
So if I need anything, I'll make sure I'm straight.
So you're stuck up there in East Lansing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to class.
Mm-hmm.
And how long do you stay in school?
A semester.
One semester?
One semester.
Until?
Until I got caught up in some dorm home invasions.
Yeah. Were you able to tell your roommate that you were not going to be his roommate any longer?
No, he told him. He was one of the ones that told him.
Oh shit!
Wait, you stole from your roommate?
No, but we hid something in my room. We hid like a whole bunch of iPads and laptops and phones in my room. And somebody had came. My man's came and got it when he found out the police got me. And when the police came to my room, was like, was there anything in here that somebody came and got before you got here? He like, yeah, his friend that lived such and such came and got a blue big bag. They went back to him. He got caught with all the stuff. Told him it was crazy.
I'm going to guess you are not Facebook friends with him any longer.
No.
So, okay. So you get caught up in that. And what happens?
I didn't go right to jail. They locked me up for a minute, then let me go. And they was like, we're building our case. We ain't locking y'all up right now. Cause they build their case. I'm like, they not about to build no case. They just saying that we good, we straight. They wouldn't let us out if they had something. 5 months later, they talking about some. Yes, a warrant out for your arrest for. I'm like, for what? For them home invasions. I was like, oh, I'm gone.
You're
oh
like, that's God. Old news.
And yeah,
it happened 5 months ago.
Went to Kentucky. Went. My man was already going to Kentucky to go do a smash and grab on his jury stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I might just come with y'all. It's already over for me up here anyway.
Yo, by the way, Kentucky, longer drive than Chicago.
Yeah. Went down there to do that. Got caught up down there. They locked me up. They ain't let me back out.
Yeah.
So, did my time down there. Then they sent me to Michigan. Did my time in Michigan. Came home.
Wait, can we just talk about the Kentucky thing? You went in there with a sledgehammer.
Yeah. It was a baby sledgehammer. It was about this size.
Gotcha.
But it was still heavy duty, though. It wasn't none of them.
One right, yeah, yeah, you're not like Paul Bunyan.
Yeah. It was a sledgehammer.
Did you sort of, when you envision it beforehand, like, you know when like football teams, you know, like they get into the mode of like, okay, you envision how the whole day is going to go. All right, we're going to start off doing this, and this is how the play is going to go. Mm-hmm. Was that with where your head was at, where you were like, all right, well, this is going to go perfectly. I'm the sledgehammer guy, and we're going to get out of there and everything's going to be cool.
Yeah, we need like a grease man. We need a getaway guy. Yeah.
I couldn't even believe I was doing it the whole time I was doing it. I'm like, damn, I just had a bad feeling. I know I ain't got no business doing this shit. I ain't even supposed to be down here.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I can't believe I got that warrant up there. I wonder what they going to do. Let me just get this out of the way. Next thing you know, we in a jury, so I got the hammer.
Yeah.
First, I see one of my mans walking there. Ain't none of us got no mask on. But when I saw my mans going there and do this, what's that right there? How much is that? Trying to play it off.
Yeah.
I'm like, this nigga done touched the glass. That's a fingerprint. So they coming to get you for sure.
Right. I better really smash the glass.
Might tell them.
Yeah.
Smash the glass. All I hear is freeze. When I hear freeze, the first thing I think is gun and police. I turn around. Dude got a gun in my face. I see it in his eyes that he will shoot. I gotta run. I can't run out the store. Because I got to run to him to get out the store. So I get on the ground. Wait there till the police came.
Man.
What are you feeling in that moment?
Damn. My mind was like a blank space right now. It's like, damn. You can't even think of nothing. It's like coming to an end of the road. You done drove so far, and then you at the just end of the road, and there's nowhere else to go. And it's just like,
you're like, I was almost interning at Ernst & Young.
Yeah.
This is the opposite.
Swear.
What was it like talking
about? I was embarrassed to tell dudes that in prison.
Well, what'd you tell your grandparents?
I was scared to talk to them at first about it. I'm like, they got me. She's like, who got you? I'm like, in Kentucky, I'm locked up. She's like, for what? Like, I don't know. I ain't even doing nothing.
Yo, that's got to be so crazy for them to hear.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
How did you get on there?
Yeah.
You were just at the house. Yeah.
Wait, what does it feel like to talk about it in all these interviews now?
What it feel like to talk about it?
Yeah.
It'd just be crazy that I came from all that. It'd just be a blessing that I came from all that.
You go back to Michigan, and you do your time up there.
Mm-hmm.
How long does that last?
I don't even remember how long I was in Michigan. I was in Michigan for like, probably like a year and a half, 2 years. And I just spent like a year and a half, 2 years in Kentucky locked up.
And did you, so your mom wrote to you while you were locked up too?
Yeah.
What were those letters like?
We were just talking about what I was going to do when I got out. I told her I'm going to try to do this music thing.
So for sure, you had it in your head. You're like, this is the way forward.
I didn't know it was going to be successful, but I said for sure, I'm going to do some music when I get out.
So what was your plan? How'd you think that you could do better than how you did with the All-Stars?
I'm like, okay, so first of all, I'm doing my own thing. I'm doing my own thing for one. I'm not involving nobody in what I got going on.
Because no one's going to care as much as you do.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And if it go bad, ain't nobody going to feel it but me.
Yep.
So I'm like, I'm about to, before I do anything illegal, I'm going to give myself a legal chance at this music. And I'm going to format it like this. I'm not about to be in no group. I'm going solo. Not even tell nobody I'm at home. I'm just going to drop a video, which was first day out. I'm going to drop a video and just put it out there.
So how much writing are you doing while you're locked up?
I down there was writing like every other night, for real.
How else do you pass your time?
Reading, playing chess, and writing and working out. And laughing. Like, I did a lot of my time laughing. Because it's like, it's a lot of funny dudes in there. Some of the funniest dudes is in there. And I just spend a lot of time with them. They go by so quick.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'm like, I'm doing my time off these niggas.
Like, funny, like, snapping on each other?
Funny, like, snapping on each other. Funny, like, just doing unbelievable stuff. Funny, like, okay, say you cook up something, right? Make a cook up. Like, cook up scenario is like a prized possession. You make a cook up. He don't have nothing. He's starving. You sit your bowl down, like, oh, let me run to the bathroom right quick. He come grab it, take it to his room, throw it under the bed, cover it up with a whole bunch of stuff, and come back out there like, ain't nothing going on.
Yeah.
And you come out there just looking for your bowl. This is just so funny. And then when they lock down, he in there just eating it. And then when y'all come out, he hurry up and sit your bowl back up there empty. And then dude grab the bowl, just going off. One of y'all niggas ate my shit. Ooh. It's just funny.
Well, that's what it's like living here, by the way. It's exactly like that. How's your chess game?
Immaculate.
Really?
I wanted probably one of the best to ever do it. Like, if I didn't make a career out of rapping, I could have made a career out of playing chess.
You were that good?
Yeah. Still that good.
Yeah?
Still.
Do you like being black or white?
Either way. I'm better on defense, but I start off.
It's a weird question to ask, by the way.
Yeah. Wait, do you get better just experiencing each game, or is it like you're studying up on it from like books and like there's different methodologies?
It was books in there, but I got better gambling. I got better gambling against people. Okay, people. I see somebody losing, right?
Yeah.
Whole time he losing on purpose because he know people watching. So he waiting on somebody to bet him. I bet you can't beat me. Bet, let's play it. And when you get to losing so much, you stop wanting to lose your stuff.
Yeah.
Because you're going to starve. I didn't get good gambling when I was losing stuff. I got good gambling when we was playing for cups of water.
Cups of water.
Whoever loses got to drink a cup of water. I'm telling you, that ain't no joke at all. I did not want to drink no more water. I refused to lose. That's when I got my best at chess.
Oh, man.
I got to going crazy.
Is it that you have to drink water and you can't go to the bathroom or something?
No, you can go to the bathroom. It's just you get so full, you don't want to keep drinking no water, and you got to keep going to the bathroom.
Again, that's exactly what it's like living here.
that's like, okay, say I beat you one game, you go get the water. Tall cup, you drinking. Hurry up and beat you quick, man. Hurry up and drink that so you can fill it back up. You know what I'm saying? And it's just repeatedly. You don't want to keep doing that.
So at what point do you start counting down the days? The moment you get in there?
When you on your third day, when you got 3 days in there, that's longer than a month. Because you count every second. So I don't really count days in there. I try to lose track of time. Like, don't tell me what money. I get mad when people tell me what month it is or what day it is. You know, all I need to know is, when Love and Hip Hop come on? Is the workout pit open today? Did I get any mail, any visits, any J-Pay? Who answering their phone? Which one of my mans I'm cool with, I'm about to call in the yard? Is anybody playing basketball? Do anybody got any books? As far as the days or months, don't even bring that up.
Yeah.
Don't tell me happy birthday. Don't do none of that.
So you did want visitors?
I did. I got some visits, but it was from people. I didn't get the visits from people I really wanted to visit me.
So yeah. So like, for instance, when Mena was up here, he's like, I didn't want anybody to visit me. He's like, I just didn't want to like deal with that interaction. I just wanted to like get through it.
I definitely want to visit.
Yeah.
I definitely want to visit. People coming there smelling good, smelling like outside. You smelling these dudes all day. I want to see some females.
Yeah.
They got stuff in it. They got vending machines out there that we don't have access to, and people can buy that stuff for you
and bring it in.
Yeah. I want that. I want to smell people. I want to know what's going on. Just seeing somebody outside of these niggas in these uniforms, I definitely wanted to visit.
You're how old at this point?
20. When I was in there?
Yeah.
20. I spent from 20 to 22 in there.
What was your 21st
birthday? I spent from 19 to 22 in there.
What was your 21st birthday like?
I just had got moved. It was super sad too, because I was in this unit for 9 months. And everybody, like all of us facing 20 years or more. This is when I did the first degree robbery in Kentucky. Everybody facing 20 years or more. So everybody, it's like real serious dudes in here. Real serious, real smart, real dudes like fighting their cases and making real bonds, because we in here with each other for a long time. And we seeing each other get fried and cooked, and our lawyers not talking about nothing. So we really going through pain together. We like created a bond. 9 months later, just the honest to God truth, they're like, Wallace, pack up, you moving. Niggas in there got to screaming. No. Like, damn, bro, they about to move you. Man, I love you, bro. You know what I'm saying? Dude from Kentucky.
Yeah.
Like, man, I love you, bro. Man, be smooth when you get out there, man. I know you're going to make it out, man. Don't forget about me, bro. Say free me in one of your songs. You know what I'm saying? And it's just sad. When I went in there and I looked at the calendar, saw what day it was like 5 days before my birthday. I'm in here with all these new niggas that I do not know, don't want to be in here. Just left all my mans. I'm just sick. Like, my birthday, if I ain't about to tell these niggas, I'm mad as hell.
Down in Kentucky, they all saw the vision. They understood that you were going to be an artist.
Yeah. They believed in me. Everybody believed in me. Michigan and Kentucky dudes. All believed in me.
And you believed in yourself.
I had high hopes. But I didn't just say, I just didn't just know what it was going to do. But I used to tell myself, I know this hard. This hard. This got to go.
Did you spit for anybody?
Yeah, I stayed rapping in there.
Did anyone else rap in there?
Yeah.
Was anyone else nice?
Yeah, it was a lot of nice dudes in there. It was this one dude that sung. This dude, so cold. You know how when you sleep in there, you mad when people wake you up because you had dreams that you out. And plus, when you sleep, you not woke going through the times. So you hate when people wake you up. This one dude used to sing in the morning, wake everybody up. Well, nobody mad. Niggas would get up, get the beating on the wall.
Yeah.
Hey, do that, sing the one song, sing the one song. Then they get to waking me up. T, rap that, what's the name? And it'll just be like, that's how we do our time. That's how we get through our time.
A Waste of Time with It's The Real's 12 Days of Podcasts are sponsored by our good friends at Def Jam, who have been dropping the best projects in hip-hop and R&B this entire holiday season. For all of you last-minute holiday shoppers, I want you to take note of 4 specific projects that should be on your radar right now, starting with the newest thing that T-Grizzly is featured on, Jeezy's new album, Pressure. Pressure, which we got to hear before it was released, has been on steady rotation while I'm at the gym, while I'm taking the subway, and as I'm getting work done. It's no surprise that Jeezy brought inspirational words and the hardest and most soulful beats, and it's no surprise that Jeezy's recruited a monster lineup alongside him, including 2 Chainz, Rick Ross, WizKid, Puff Daddy, Tory Lanez, Kendrick Lamar, and one of the best J. Cole verses you're ever gonna hear. Go to JeezyShop.com right now and pick up some of those dope hoodies that Jeezy's been rocking on all of his media appearances of late, and get excited for Jeezy's 31-city cold summer tour with T-Grizzly starting in early 2018. Fabolous and Jadakiss have answered all of our collective prayers and hit us with a real New York City rap album for the ages Friday on Elm Street. It doesn't get better than the legends and friends of this podcast, Jada and Fab, who with big expectations put the entire city on their backs for this one. Let's salute these guys and support this dope project, which has ridiculous production from Swiss Beats, Ted Smooth, and many more. Go stream that, go stream it again, and stream it once more for good luck. Jhené Aiko's amazing album Trip is available now on vinyl. Do yourself a favor, do your loved one a favor, and do mankind a favor by picking this up and passing love around. We need more energy like Jhené's in this world. Jhené's album Trip is available now on vinyl. And for everyone looking for that next new thing, Jesse Boykins III's new album Bartholomew is available now and will blow your mind. With features like Sid, Bridget Kelly, Trinidad James, and Melanie Fiona, get ready to tell your friends and family that you were the first one to know this man's name and catalog. It's available now on all streaming services. Def Jam is running the holiday season, and if you don't like that, then go back to sleep until 2018, you Grinches.
What's your favorite Love and Hip Hop city, by the way?
I like Atlanta. I like Atlanta. I like Love and Hip Hop Atlanta.
Who is your favorite person on Love and Hip Hop?
I gotta go with DJ Self. Yeah. My favorite episode, the most entertaining, was Atlanta.
Yeah.
Favorite person was DJ Self. I rock with Self.
And you guys have met certainly since you've been put on.
Yeah, yeah. I told him I was Washington in there.
Yeah. When you were about to get out, what was the first move gonna be once you got out?
My first move was to get my license, get some clothes, get a phone, and start applying for jobs.
And where were we gonna live?
I was gonna live with my cousin on the east side.
Mm-hmm.
My pops had passed and left a house to my cousin. I was gonna stay over there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And as far as recording, where were you gonna go?
I ain't had no idea. The people that was out here rapping, I was gonna go off them. Matter of fact, this one dude had a studio. You know, this one local dude, he got a little label and he got a studio. I was gonna record up there.
And did you have to pay for the time? Did you just...
No, I ain't have to pay for time or nothing because they rock with me.
At this point, did you rename yourself T Grizzly?
I was Grizzly in prison.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was Grizzly in prison.
And you're Grizzly because why?
Because my size, the dreads, and I was aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
Because my size and the hair, they could have called me Teddy Bear or something like that, but I was aggressive. So like, yeah, you're Grizzly.
And you also fuck with Animal Planet.
Yeah, I fuck with Animal Planet heavy. I follow them too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you like them though? I mean, do you double tap them?
Yeah.
Okay. Just making sure that you're like a good follower, not just like a lurker.
Yeah. Anytime I'm watching TV, if I'm passing channels and I see a tiger or a lion chasing something, I'm tuned in. I'm watching it.
Who would win in a fight, a lion or a bear?
A bear.
Okay.
Just for sure.
Yeah. Sure. What about lion, bear, shark?
Bear.
Okay.
All fights. Bears winning all fights.
Polar bear or grizzly bear?
Grizzly bear.
Oh, all right.
Because the polar bear, that depends on what climate they... No, it really don't. Polar bears can swim real good.
So you get in the studio, and the first thing you're going to record is?
First Day Out.
Yeah, so you have...
Because I can't record another song, didn't record First Day Out, because you've been out.
Right, right.
You know, so I got to record First Day Out.
Who's in the studio at that point?
It was me, my auntie, the producer, my uncle, and I think two of my friends.
What's the sort of vibe that everyone has after you finish recording?
We left out like, that's hard, that's sweet. What's the next one? I think that other one gonna do it though.
Yeah,
I think the other one gonna do it for you. The other one gonna blow you up.
What was the other one?
Real niggas.
And they were wrong, by the way.
Yeah. We should say that they were wrong.
Yeah.
I thought it was gonna be real niggas too, because I used to play First Day Out for people before it came out, and they was like, they wasn't moved by it. Oh yeah, that's straight. What kind of shirt y'all? We was in the store. What kind of shirt y'all trying to get? Damn. I'm like, damn, is this song gonna do it? Drop that motherfucker. Yeah. It's like, damn, that bitch doing numbers.
So you leave the studio, they give it to you on like, do they burn a CD? Do they put it on your phone? Do you have it on like a
SoundCloud or like
put it on my phone?
Yeah.
And so you're playing it in the car, or are you playing it for friends? Like, how are you?
In the car for friends and stuff like that.
Yeah. And who's the first person who really believes outside of that small circle that was in there when you were recording?
It was these ladies in Pontiac. They was the first person that reacted to it crazy.
Who were they?
I don't know their names, but when we played, they got up and got the twerking and everything. I'm like, oh yeah, they feeling it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Like, we were playing it in your car, and they were just like ladies. Like,
we was in the house.
Oh, oh.
We was in my grandma's house.
You were in your grandma's house?
Mm-hmm.
You don't know who these ladies were in Pontiac?
Nope. They was their friends. They was her friends, my grandma's friends. Like, close friends to the family.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they just felt it.
Mm-hmm.
And that said to you what?
Some people like it. It's likable.
But you had already shot the video for that, or you were about to?
I was about to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how'd you go about finding the director for that? How'd you get the idea for the video?
I had two different directors in mind. My auntie was telling me about this dude.
Yeah.
No, look, I had some Detroit local dudes that's doing their thing. And my auntie was like, no, this dude. I'm like, show me one of his videos. So I saw, I'm like, never. He'll never shoot none of my videos in life.
What was wrong with him?
I never heard of him. And the videos that he had out wasn't really talking about nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So I finally met him. This little white dude, cowboy boots, beater, cut up. He dancing. He on the hoverboard. I'm like, man. I'm like, all right, bet. I give him a chance. And if we don't like it, we just going to shoot with them.
Yeah.
He ended up nailing it. I'm like, damn. He's shooting all the videos. He ended up nailing it.
Have you been on a hoverboard?
Yes. I broke his.
You broke his?
Yeah, I broke his. At this other video shoot.
Yeah.
Was that to send a message or was it by accident?
No, I tried to ride it. I'm riding. I'm trying to get off. I'm like, I can't stop. So I'm about to try to jump. So I'm trying to jump. Cracked in the middle. Caved in.
No, that's the wrong idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have you been on one since?
No. No, I can't keep buying people hoverboards.
They're illegal now in New York, but the crazy thing is you still
see, illegal?
They're illegal, yeah. Because, you know, there was that whole thing where, like, they can catch on fire, they can, like, burn your whole place down, and, I think just, I don't know, maybe,
what people doing with them? That ain't happened nowhere else.
No, they were just riding them.
Yeah, no, the problem is that it's, like, a traffic thing. Like, you can't have them on the
sidewalk.
Yeah. Sidewalks and stuff.
Oh, okay.
So when they did that, by the way, so the lobby that you walked through downstairs, there was a kid who lives in the next building who would just, like, ride around the lobby. Like, you can't go take it outside? Fine, fuck it. I'll just, you know, ride around the lobby back and
forth.
So
you'd see this sad 12-year-old just sitting on the, because he got bored with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the video.
Skate park.
Yeah. The video is done.
Mm-hmm.
Who was the first person that you show it to?
I was at work. I was working at this golf course. I showed it to my man, Blanco.
What were you doing at the golf course?
Blowing leaves off the what's his name?
Yeah.
And just hiding from the staff so they can't see me not doing nothing.
Yeah. You have the leaf blower like on your back?
Yeah.
Like the whole thing?
Yeah. I ended up getting it put on a car somehow so I could just ride past and it blew it.
Should have done it on the hoverboard.
Yeah. Yeah. I saw him in the video. He like, bro, that's crazy. That's that one.
All right. We get this all the time. Like, how often do you just believe, like, somebody that you show it to? That they're not just like, yo, you're my friend, and of course it's hot.
It's like, okay, some stuff is undeniable. Like, when we saw that video, we knew it was a great video. Great song. Great song for the video. Great video for the song.
Mm-hmm.
You can't deny it. It's undeniable.
Was there a thought that you were like, maybe I'll just be like popping in Detroit and Detroit only?
Nope, because when I put the video out and we sitting there watching this, 15 minutes had went past, it had about 5,000 views. I don't even know how people was catching wind of it that quick.
Yeah.
It's like it instantly went viral, like instantly.
Yo.
Like that's something you upload right now and it's viral.
Yeah.
Like how
who? You want to know why? Those women in Pontiac,
mm-hmm.
they had a lot of
very influential.
Yeah.
Tastemakers, those women. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like the women from Pontiac, then LeBron.
Right.
Yeah.
What did you know about Fake Shore Drive?
I knew it was in Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew it was like a music. It was heavy on music.
Mm-hmm.
Heavy on like pushing and helping out with people's music.
Yeah.
You know, because it was messing. I used to see a lot of tweets from them about the drill scene.
Yeah.
You know.
But that's all you knew.
Yeah.
So you have no idea how the video got to Andrew Barber over there or anything? And no,
I had no idea how I got there.
Because, like, you know, Andrew, like, loves the Midwest, mm-hmm. supports the Midwest, and has been, like, very powerful for the Midwest.
No, definitely.
And
for sure.
And that's, you know, everything from up top down south. And he was a huge supporter of you early.
Mm-hmm. No, he was, because he showed me a lot of love when I met him.
Did you understand how the internet was reacting to this? Like, who was reaching out to you?
I used to read all my DMs, right? And every day it was something new. Oh, did you see such and such playing it? Did you see such and such post your song? Go look, go on what's the name page? They playing your song. Go on Chris Brown, he just posted it twice.
Were you like, what?
I used to look for to see where was my song at. You know, who was doing what.
Yeah.
My DM was telling me everything, and it was just crazy.
Do you still check your DMs if people tell you that Chris Brown is playing your song?
No, I can't check it. If he did play my song, I wouldn't know by going on his page or somebody calling or texting my phone. I can't take them. It's too many DMs.
Chris Brown and Trey Songz bring you out in Detroit.
Right.
Tell me what's going through your head at that moment. Because I have my impression because I've seen the video. You look nervous as fuck.
My head was one of the moment. Damn, this is Trey Songz and Chris Brown. These niggas ain't never brought nobody out from Detroit. I don't even know if these niggas even had a conversation with nobody like me from Detroit. This is crazy. This beat is about to be one of the biggest things the city ever seen. And it was. And I look nervous because I'm trying to take it all in and perform.
No, yeah. I mean, like, it's like a nervous excitement. Like, it's like you just look like
it was.
The first and biggest thing ever.
It was. That was crazy.
How many people did you bring with you that night?
I don't know. I had my two friends. I had my girlfriend. My auntie was there. And
the ladies from Pontiac?
They weren't there.
They weren't there. Okay.
They weren't there. They was in Pontiac.
Okay.
I don't know who else I brought with me. My cousin Meech was... No, I don't know if Meech came to that one. Was Meech at that one? Meech, my cousin Meech was there.
Yeah, give him his credit. Like, you know.
He did a lot in the beginning.
Yeah. What was your interaction with the guys like? Did you get the chance to, like, talk with them?
Trey and Chris?
Mm-hmm.
It was surprising. Because Trey Songz and Chris Brown, they just like, I'm thinking need some R&B, singy song, dude.
Yeah.
But they really like...
They're about it.
No, for real, yeah. Like, about it.
Yeah.
How much thought went into your outfit for that day?
I knew I wanted to wear some Balenciagas because I liked them. I just came home. This was a hot shoe.
Yeah.
Boom. I'm like, these Robins just go crazy off them. And I said, oh, girl, I'm like, man, go get me something to match this. And she came back with a sweater. I'm like, this sweater ain't really it. Fuck it, it's too late. You know what I'm saying? The girl that I was talking to at the moment, she had one to go get the sweater for me. I ain't like it too much, but it was like, what can I do?
Yo, what was the conversation like when you quit the job at the golf course?
Or did you quit? Are you still working there?
You're like, I need to take an extended break.
Oh, no. It was shutting down anyway. I had to figure something out. You know? Because it was about to be snow. So they like, you know, we about to close the course down. You know, y'all come back, get back with us in March.
And you're like, all right, I'll figure something out.
I'm like, man, ain't nothing I can do. Nothing. Because ain't no, you don't know no other jobs that need help around. Because, you know, I needed a job. I'm on parole. I got to have a job.
Yeah.
Plus, I got to make some money.
Yeah.
You know?
How often would you meet with your parole officer?
Probably, I think I had to meet with her twice a month.
Mm-hmm.
At first, I had to meet with her twice a month at first. Drop twice a month.
And did you explain to her at any point, you're like, so I really feel like this video is going to, you know, go somewhere?
Nah, I didn't explain that to her.
Mm. Did she recognize it at a certain point? She was like, well, this is kind of big and you're doing big things.
I told her, like, look, I'm rapping. I might have some shows out of town. I need to go out of town.
Yeah.
She like, no, you're not going out of town. You got to be out for 6 months before you go. It's dead. I'm like, damn. Mm. I'm like, what about when I get off? She's like, we'll see about that. That's still going to take a long time.
Mm.
So I'm just like, damn. So I ain't even got to worry about traveling unless I sneak somewhere. So then out of nowhere, I get a call. Yeah, we switching your parole officer to a gang unit parole officer. So I switched to her. I'm like, okay, boom. I ain't even about to say nothing about traveling right now.
Yeah.
So I ain't about to bring it up. Somebody tried to book me for a show in Ohio. And my auntie like, so look, we about to, I got to go up there with you and tell your parole officer she's going to be good. I'm like, yeah, I can travel. For sure.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong. I can travel. Whole time I know I can't travel, I'm just like, dang, I don't want to say no. So, because I'm still going to try to sneak there. We go up there. And it's just crazy because I'm not supposed to be able to travel. She was like, let me talk to the higher-ups. And they end up letting me travel.
Wow.
Right then and there.
Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah.
What was the first time hearing your song on radio like?
I knew I was lit, so I wasn't really tripping.
Yeah?
But when it was in when I heard No Effort in Rotation, I didn't know No Effort was in rotation. I'm like, damn, I'm really doing something out here.
Were you just listening to the radio and it just like popped on?
Yeah. I'm like, damn, No Effort sound good on the radio. I wonder why they playing this in the mix show. And I'm like, no, that's in rotation. I'm like, No Effort in Rotation? Like, yeah. I'm like, damn.
So how quickly were you recording new music?
I'm a type of artist, right? I don't just go in there and record just to record. Mm-hmm. I have to write. I want my music to hit people. You know how like a lot of people was inspired by First Day Out because of my time on it. I want to do that with all my music. I want my music to hit people in a certain way. Like I tell stories. Mm-hmm. You know, I can't get in there and just think of something that happened and give you every detail in that short of a moment.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So it like, I gotta take my, you can't rush creativity. Mm-hmm. You know, it takes, gotta go through my process.
Kevin Lyles reaches out to you.
Right.
How?
How did 300 reach out to me? Salim, I think, reached out to us first. And I want to fly out there and have a meeting with y'all. On the label, 300. Well, I'm like, what's 300? And I'm like, oh, yeah, Day-Day, Migos, Young Thug. Say no more.
Yeah,
come
yeah,
on.
Yeah.
Get out here ASAP. Because Atlantic about to be out here in a minute. So come on. So they come. We have a meeting with them. I didn't talk to a lot of labels. And dude was just so cool. And he the first one that offered some money. Mm-hmm. He the first one that said a dollar amount. All these other labels like, yo, we just want to get to know you and stuff, know where you from. I'm like, oh, no, that's cool, that's cool. Why ain't talking about no money?
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Well, nobody talking about no
where
money.
Where I'm from.
Yeah.
Celine came down there talking about that money. Hey, I don't want to talk to nobody else. Yeah, you feel me? T.I. was talking about some money, too. T.I. was real cool. He flew to Detroit and was talking about some money, too.
So you sat down with T.I.?
Yeah, yeah.
How was that?
It was good.
So before that, you just knew his music. Did you watch him on TV?
Yeah, like, I grew up on T.I. I like T.I.
Yeah.
I'm still a fan of T.I.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so was there an understanding of like how he had sort of like taken his career and he was like, I can do this for you or?
Yeah, he was talking to me. Like, I done been through similar situations on what you've been on. Like, I can help you in more than the ways that his music. You know what I'm saying? And I could sense his vibe was genuine.
Did he speak just said, like he does? Yeah. Like on
No, he talked like that for real.
Yeah, yeah.
He liked that.
What's the biggest word that he used incorrectly?
I don't even know. He uses some words. I don't know what it means. So I don't know if it was correct
I don't think
or not.
He knows the words either.
Was he wearing his hat at an impossible angle?
Yeah.
No. He was dressed in a suit. He was real fresh.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, he was real fresh.
What is it like being on FaceTime with Lior?
I didn't really know who Lior was until I got to reading about labels. Oh, yeah, that's him? Oh, yeah, that's cool. That's what's up. FaceTime, what's going on? Yeah. Man, I appreciate y'all, man, you know? So, really no feeling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, but
you're just like, this is an old white man talking to me on the phone?
Damn near.
Yeah.
You know, not taking away from him.
No.
Not taking nothing away from him. But I didn't grow up.
Right.
Like, damn, I want to be like Lior.
Right.
You know, now let it have been I can't even think of nobody right now. Let it have been Jay-Z on FaceTime.
Right. Yeah.
It would have meant more to me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
The song is just killing out there.
Right.
You signed to 300.
Right.
What is the next move after that?
You talking about right now or
no,
right
at the moment. Were they like, all right, well, we need a full project out of you or we
want to
put
like, man,
you.
Let's work. Let's work. We want you to be like a big artist in 2017. You know
you
what
said,
I'm
saying?
Okay. I'm like, I want to be too.
Yeah.
Let me know what to do. And like, man, just put that good music out there. Keep doing that. Get in the studio. Let's shoot these videos. Let's move around.
And what's the next song that felt like really good to you?
D to the A. Mm-hmm. With Lil Yachty.
Mm-hmm. Big song. And did you were you on Spotify? Did you understand what Rap Caviar was? And like,
I was hip to Rap Caviar.
Yeah,
I was hip to it.
So when that song pops off on there, were you just like, well, this is cool? Like,
mm-hmm.
And do you watch the numbers at that point?
Yeah.
Because you're way beyond those 16,000, 20,000
plays.
Man,
what? 18 million streams a week. I'm looking at the numbers. I'm like, that's motivating me. I'll do that.
Mm-hmm.
These 18 million in 1 week, I got to triple that. How can I triple it? You know?
And what's the answer?
By followers.
I mean, the answer is just be consistent at 18 and it's going to come.
Mm-hmm.
Because people like good music, but people also like success.
Mm-hmm.
So if you got a lot of success, people won't come to you regardless.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
So a lot has happened, obviously, and it's been a year since you dropped First Day Out, which is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
You've been in the studio with Takeoff.
Mm-hmm.
One of the songs just came out. Do you have any more songs with him, or?
No, we only knocked out one of them.
Mm-hmm. And was it always destined for the QC project?
No.
It was just you guys linked up, and that's what you recorded, and it was you figured it out from there?
Yeah.
What is it about Takeoff that you like?
I mean, it ain't nothing specific about him. He's just an overall cool dude,
mm-hmm.
genuine dude. Like, if you say he rock with you, he rock with you.
Yeah.
It ain't no fake industry love. Like, he a cool, he a real dude.
Yeah, a lot of... Who's got a better glasses game, you or him?
Because
you've got Buffy's.
Yeah, you can't... It don't get no better than Buffs.
Yeah.
So... I feel like that's at the top of the list.
Yeah. Okay.
No. Talk about when Jay-Z shouted you out on Twitter when he went into the Songwriting Hall of Fame.
I couldn't wait to throw it on my page. Let's see what they think about this. Threw it up there.
Who tells you about that?
Big J.
Who tells you about that?
It was in my DM. Man, go see what Jay-Z saying about.
See, you got to go check the DMs. What are you talking about?
I mean, I didn't see anything. Ain't nothing else to see. Aliens playing your music. That's the only thing they can say now.
So he says that, like, it couldn't have been any better than that, right?
Nope. Drew's got the best song right now.
Did you just turn your phone off that night? You're just like, well, that's it.
Nah. I did. I was like, that's crazy. I don't think it's going to get better than that. Then LeBron shouted me up.
Yeah.
Crazy.
You're a Pistons fan, though, right?
I'm a fan of whoever is the last.
No, you're just saying that because LeBron shouted you out.
That's what I'm a fan of. Right? Yeah. I'm going to keep it 100. Whoever the last two players is in the finals when it's championship time.
Yeah, Daniel Peck.
Whoever the sweetest, that's what I'm rocking with. That's what I'm a fan of. I'm a bandwagon type of dude. Yeah. You know, I don't look at sports until it's Super Bowl or championship or World Cup. Other than that, I don't even, you know.
Yeah. Just run with the winners.
Yeah. Sorry to the Tigers and the Pistons and the Lions.
None of that. Like, LeBron, Curry, Kyrie, the big names.
Just being honest. Yeah. Have you been back to Michigan State to perform?
Yeah.
How weird is that?
Man, it was nuts. They love me up there.
I bet.
Yeah, it was nuts.
Have you seen any of, like, your professors from that first semester?
I saw some of my high school teachers, though.
Oh, really?
I got to go back up there and kick with them.
And what'd they say?
They was just real proud. I'm really proud of you, you know?
And tell me that you have not forgotten all the guys down in Kentucky who said, don't forget me.
No, I ain't forget them. I ain't forget them. I think about writing them sometimes.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think about it.
Has anybody from have you run into anybody from Ernst & Young?
Nope.
Oh.
Nope. I ride past it sometimes. I'm gonna find Lindsay Schools.
Yeah, you should. So didn't you perform at the Big Timer show, right? That Fake Shore Drive did?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. You should have invited her to that show.
I should have.
In Chicago.
Yeah, I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know, I would have been lit for
How was that
what
show?
What if it was the same weekend as the Global Perspectives?
I don't know if she wanted to see me on stage, pick her up, knock her back down.
Yeah.
You know, we were just at Chipotle talking about numbers.
How was that show, though?
It was good. It was lit.
Yeah.
It was lit.
Mm-hmm. It looked amazing. We wanted to come out there for that. That was just like... an amazing thing for Andrew Barber, certainly for Fake Shore Drive, for Chicago, and for the whole Midwest.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Did you stick around for the Big Timers performance?
Nope.
Okay.
Nope.
You did your thing, and then you left.
Did my thing and got up out of there.
Yep.
What's coming up next for you?
Next, I'm pushing the mixtape me and Lil Durk just dropped. Me and Lil dropped a mixtape called Bloodus. So that's what I'm pushing.
Yep.
You know. And
congratulations on that, by the way.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And that's what we're pushing right now.
Why is he a vulture?
Because he would say, I rock with Dirk Heavy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So just like he would say he a part of Grizzly Gang,
mm-hmm.
I would say that I'm a part of the vultures.
Mm-hmm.
And we call ourselves vultures because, like, we eat everything but each other.
Mm-hmm.
See, people call me a vulture because I'm white.
Yeah. It's like, if you ain't with us, you fool.
Yeah.
Well, you eat everything but each other. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And on the Grizzly end, just be aggressive. You know not to play with tamper with them.
Well, grizzlies eat like salmon, right? Like
We eat salmon. We eat salmon.
Are you a pescatarian? Like just fish?
No, I eat. I'm a carnivore too.
Okay, can I just say how much I enjoy that you say we, as in like you and the bear community?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I done did a couple videos with a couple of my partners.
Oh yeah,
you know, catch it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, stuff like that.
So do you enjoy shooting videos, or is that just like a long day?
Long day.
Yeah.
But I enjoy when it's done and it look good.
Right.
It's a long day because it might not be what I hope it is. I didn't have videos where it was like, I know this ain't what came back off from 12 hours.
Yeah, but what it is the editor is the most powerful person.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Well, like, I mean, do you ever think about directing your own videos?
Yeah, I'm going to end up doing all that.
Okay.
I'm going to shoot a movie and everything.
Really?
One day.
You got a movie in your head?
Yeah. I call it First Day Out.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's going to be like a Get Rich or Die Trying, but like, you know,
yeah,
something like that.
So
hustle and flow type of feel, all that type of stuff.
So can you talk to 300 about that? Like, is that something that you can do within the next year?
Uh-huh.
You want to do within the next year?
I want to do that. I want to do that for sure.
Yeah. You're performing around.
Right.
You're recording still.
Right.
You're putting out projects. You want to do a movie. What is like the craziest thing that you thought of that you're like, you know what? This is, it might sound a little weird, but I don't know. I just want to do it.
Skydiving. Oh. Skydiving.
Are you going to skydive?
Yes.
Really?
One day.
Oh, where? I can't do that.
Where I'm going to do it at?
Yeah.
Probably do it in Detroit. Let me out right on top of the school. Right on top of my old school.
Try to land. Jump through?
Try to land on there. Come through the chimney on them.
Yeah.
No, if I were you, here's what I would want to do. I would want to... obviously, like the Ernst & Young thing, go find Lindsay is her name?
Yeah.
Go find her.
I need
her.
To go find her for sure.
Yeah. Mm. I would go back to Kentucky, go to that jewelry store, just stop in and buy something. Mm-hmm. Leave a nice tip.
Yeah.
I would like want to go back to like all the places where people doubted you and just like drop in on them and just be like, look at me now.
You know why I say I need to go find Lindsay? Because I had to have a certain GPA. I had to turn my resume in by a certain time and do this and all that. But our bond was so good. She like an older, like cool lady. Our bond so good. She like, did you do that check? And like, she was like, no, I ain't get to do a check. All right, don't worry about it. Did you get to do it? No, I ain't get to do it. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Signed me up for a steal to go. Like, she really wanted to see me, like, get in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say it's because you had a lot of money that you want to invest right now.
No. I think that's Deloitte. That might be
Deloitte. Oh, Deloitte? Yeah. Deloitte. What do your grandparents think of your career?
My grandfather passed.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
And my grandma, let me put this in the best way, because it's crazy. She think that she ain't had no car in 20 years. She thinks she's about to get a car, all that type of stuff. And
yeah.
I just make sure I keep groceries in the house, pay the bills, of course.
Yeah, all that type of stuff.
But she be trying to live her life again.
Yeah. So grandma's not getting a car?
No. No. Not a chance.
Can grandma go skydiving with you?
No.
Why not?
No, she can't go skydiving. She might have a heart attack up there. Can't go skydiving. But I send a car over there, though.
Yeah, yeah.
I need to go to the grocery store, to the store.
Yeah.
Send a car over there. You don't need no car. She's going to sit there. My little cousin, I'm going to steal it.
Well, congratulations on this. I mean, this is an incredible story, but like in the course of 1 year, how far you've really made it. Like, you know, you should go back to that golf course and strap up that leaf blower now, because your career has blown the fuck up.
So, man, appreciate
congratulations.
It. Appreciate it, bro.
Thanks so much for coming through.
Appreciate you.
No doubt. Yeah. Thanks everyone for listening to this new episode of A Waste of Time with This Is The Real. Jeff, if people want to find out more about us, we are It's The Real, no apostrophe, no spaces. If people want to find out more about this podcast, it's called A Waste of Time. And by the way, that's waste, W-A-S-T-E, not waste like the waistband, which some people keep saying. It's called A Waste of Time with It's The Real.
Listen, if we get known for the waistband thing, like, I'm cool with
we'll
that.
We'll totally make that switch.
Yeah, we can make some money off of that. Are you kidding?
If people want to know where they can go get their tickets for our upcoming live show at SOB's on January 10th, 2018, Jeff here in New York City, where can they go?
You can always go to itsthereal.com, I-T-S-T-H-E-R-E-A-L, no apostrophes, no spaces. Go get those tickets today. We will be there on a stage at SOB's on January 10th. If you want to listen to any of our old episodes or even our new ones, go to soundcloud.com/awasteoftime or search for all of our episodes on iTunes, A Waste of Time with It's The Real. We are also putting our music out on the internet. There it is. It's on Spotify, Google Play, Apple Music, Pandora, everywhere you want to go.
Tidal.
You can even go to soundcloud.com/itsthereal. You can always find us on Twitter at It's The Real, Instagram at It's The Real, Facebook at It's The Real. You can also go and find us on Snapchat at It's The Real, or even on Twitch at It's The Real, It's The Real.
Jeff, we want to grow this podcast. The goal for 2018 is to double our audience. So if you guys spread the word, if you guys tell a friend, your family, a fan of yours, about this podcast, however you want to spell it. A waste of time, whatever. A waste of time with It's the Real. Tell your people about it. We know it starts with us. Jeff, who do you want to shout out?
I want to shout out A-Track.
Hey.
DJ A-Track, who's actually been on this podcast.
Yes.
But he was saying that he enjoys podcasts because he enjoys listening to his friends, but not really listening to them.
Okay.
So I think that, I don't know if he's going to hear this shout out.
Do you think he just puts it on in the background?
Yeah. I mean, that's the whole thing. He puts it on the background. He, like, sort of just, like, listens to his friends yammer on about T. Grizzly.
I'm glad.
Yeah.
I'm glad for that. So I hope A-Track fell asleep to this somewhere in the middle, so he heard at least the first part.
I hope you're enjoying your flight, A-Track.
Hi, Jeff. Want to shout out Jada's daddy, who commented on Instagram to our Q&A 150th episode by saying, just listening to this new episode now at work and the AKAs got me dying. I want to say that everybody who appreciates the AKAs, thank you, because we have put in so much work over the last 8 or 9 years in crafting AKAs to never repeat ourselves, to never have a whack one, to always put the best and hardest AKAs out in the world, and we are undefeated, and we appreciate everybody who appreciates them. We are 8 days into the 12 days of podcast, Jeff. We got 4 more to go. Not for real, for real.
Sure, sure.
We'll see you guys tomorrow.
This episode of 12 Days of Podcast has been sponsored by the good people of Def Jam, who have dropped Jeezy's Pressure on Spotify just in time for your Christmas season. Go listen to all 13 tracks and report back to us. Maybe we'll shout you out on this year's podcast. Jeezy's got some amazing features on his album, and so do we with our episode tomorrow with HQ's Scott Rogowski.